You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
People often talk about how pastors are on the front lines. I want to tell you, any church that's doing church right, the worship team's on the front line. Just like in the Word of God, they always went out front and paved the way, amen? And so that's why we love worship in our church. It paves the way. It prepares our hearts and the atmosphere for what God wants to do in your life today. If you are not aware, our church is in the middle of we're always, because it's a perpetual thing. Kingdom expansion is not something that's accomplished, right? It's not kingdom expand, it's kingdom expansion, all right? We're not trying to expand what God's doing by a bit. We want to forever expand what God's doing, amen? We want to be able to, position ourselves in such a place that when God speaks and when God moves, we're always ready for what he's doing, amen? And so if you're not aware of what we're doing, we're continuing to support. We send thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to a church plant in India, in Mumbai, and we love what we're doing there as a part of our kingdom expansion giving. We're giving in about a month or two, we're giving $18,000 to Joppa. That's a local homeless outreach ministry here in Des Moines, and we're embarking on a building renovation where this building will leave the 1600s and join us in the 2000s. And so we're really looking forward to all of that. And my personal favorite thing about that, well, I got to go second favorite. Obviously, I like that it'll fit more people, all right? Like, I'm still spiritual. I love people coming to church. My next favorite thing about that is that the Colosseum columns will disappear. So really excited about that. Someone say glory. Yeah, sometimes I wonder if those columns have kept a little bit of the glory out, but that wouldn't be good doctrine, so it's probably not happening. But anyway, isn't it good to be in church? You ready for the word? You ready? Come on now. So last weekend, we saw that God was a healer, we saw that God was a healer, didn't we? We saw that God's a mover and a shaker, didn't we? Amen. He's never done, is he, right? And so people have been healed here for years, right? And last weekend, another example of what God can do when we create a space for him to move and we open up our hearts and our lives for all that he has for us. God is a mover and a shaker. He's never, ever done. Can I get an amen? By the way, if you're new here today, which you might be, if you're new here today, you're allowed to yell at me when I'm preaching. It's cool. It's good. It's what we do here, all right? If it's good, you can yell out, that there is good, you know? But, you know, you can shorten that to just, that's good if you want, but whatever. You can yell at the preacher at Eternity Church. If it's bad, you don't have to yell anything out. Just leave and I'll get the point, all right? But if it's good, feel free to yell that out, all right? I'm young, I'm 35, I still have an ego, and I preach better when people are responding. Can I be honest? Can I be honest like that? Good. So just help me out, all right? God is never done moving and shaking. Can I get an amen? He's never done healing his people. He's never done moving in his church. I love my church, but my church is his church. Your church is his church, amen? He's never done moving in his church. He's not ever going to be done blessing his children. That's right, blessing his children. He's never done healing their bodies, their minds, their brokenness. He's a perpetual mover and a shaker. He's never done. He's not growing old. He's not growing weary. He's never done. Amen. See, I'm getting old according to my young son, Judah. He's my eldest. He's 8 and a half, soon to be 9. And lately, he's been letting Lauren and I know, this is my bride down here with our, I don't know how many, nearly 3 weeks old, I think, little baby. And it's tough to count when it's number 5, can I be honest, all right? And but she's down here. And Judah, our 8 and a half-year-old, has been explaining to Lauren and I lately that we're old. And we're wearing out. The other day, he doesn't just come right out and say it, you know, you're old and useless, but just in his weird fabricated care for us that lets us know that we're old. So the other day, he's explaining to me why he should be allowed to use his computer wherever and whenever he wants. See, in our house, we've got a few tech rules. We love technology. We've got a smart home, all that stuff. It's all good. But we also like to have some moments where we have this thing called verbal communication, or even just unified thing that we're doing. You know, not I'm watching Chicago Fire and Lauren's watching Chicago PD on the same couch, right? We can do it together. So we have a one screen policy. So if there's a TV on, there can't be a phone, there can't be an iPad, there can't be anything else, right? Judah thinks that our rules are stupid. He thinks that he should have unlimited time on screens. Unlimited time. The school, love their hearts, sent home a flipping Chromebook this last week. I'm like, thank you for ruining family time and causing division in our home. The devil will do that, but that's what I thought school was growing up, but anyway. So he's got this Chromebook. You felt it too growing up, hey? Yeah. Good, thank you. See, there's a few of us who felt like school was the devil growing up. My kids have been telling me that lately too. But he wants to be able to use this thing whenever he wants. And he told me the other day that our technology rules in our house are outdated. But he told me that, but it's okay, because you're from the past. I'm like, you're about to be from the past yourself. You're about to die, kid. He told me that all the other kids' parents let them. And number one, it was the first night the thing had come home. You don't have a clue what the other kids' parents are doing, you little brat. But all the other kids let them. And the reason that the other kids' parents let them use it is because their parents aren't as old as us. I'm like, he is ready for a beating. And then yesterday, Josh Dole comes to my house, and we were setting up our Nest thermostats. It's like a smart thermostat, so right now, if someone breaks into my house, I can, like, cook them. You know, just boom. I don't have to shoot them, I just cook them, right? And so we were setting that up. I'd had this thing in a box for 8 months, and then Josh came over and he set it up because Josh is a wizard. And so we're in the basement rewiring things on my furnace, and after a little while of crouching down, you know, I'm getting sore knees and a little bit of a sore lower back, because it just happens when you crouch down, all right? It's got nothing to do with your age, right? It just happens. And so I walk out of the little furnace room in our basement to the spare room, which is where the Xbox is. We hide it so people think we're super spiritual and don't have one. And so the kids are playing Xbox and they're sitting on the bed there. And so I go sit down with them, and then I just lean back because my back just needs a stretch, you know. So I lean back and just, oh. And I make some sort of wonderful noise because it just feels good. Like, oh, that's good. And Judah goes, Dad, are you okay? Just resting, are you, Dad? I'm like, yeah, I'm just a little tired and sore. Thanks, son. And he responds, is it because you're 35 now? I'm like, what the heck is wrong with this kid? Judah thinks I'm on the wind down. He thinks I'm the old model and the new model's on its way in. He thinks I'm about done, right? Hey, can I tell you, aren't you glad that God's never about done? See, he's been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Aren't you glad that God isn't ever going to wind down and be done? That you don't have to prepare your heart for the day that ultimately he will be dead? That you don't have to, you don't need to talk to God like, hey, God, you know, maybe you're not healing someone today. I know, are you a bit tired? Is it because you're like 6 billion? No, like that God's not like that. And you don't have to worry or fear about the day where God won't be able to help you. Amen. See, a couple of things I want my son to know, that number one, I've only got 2 speeds because I'm a spirit-filled believer, amen? Living on earth and living in heaven. And when I am finally old enough, and it ain't now, I got like 2 more years till I start the wind down. Can I get an amen? All right? That even when I am on the wind down, that I'll be able to say, hey, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, amen? I want my boy to know that when he gets to 35 and becomes so old, that he too will be able to still do anything through Christ who gives him strength. Amen. Number two, I want him to know that even if I get old, if even though I'm getting old, and even though one day my time on earth will be done, his heavenly Father will never ever be done, and he'll always be a mover and a shaker, and he'll never have to lay down and take a rest because it was a hard day's work. That God is always and always will be perpetually a mover and a shaker. Can I get an amen, Ben? Praise God. Amen. I scared you, didn't I? I'm sorry. So if God could heal people last week, guess what God can do this week? If God healed a little boy of a peanut allergy a couple of years ago at our altar, guess what he can do today? If God healed someone's cancer about 6 months ago at this altar, guess what he can do today? Because he's always a mover and a shaker. Amen. If 12 people got saved last week, if 16 people got saved the week before, if 10 got saved the week before that, guess what can happen this week too? People can get saved. 3 people last night, praise God. It was our second ever Saturday night service, Segway, and there was 150-something people there. Come on, praise God. That's good news. If broken hearts were restored last week, last month, last year, God is still in the business. Can someone say that's true? I love the message in Ecclesiastes 3:1. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Hey, can I pause for a second? That's why we named our church Eternity, if you ever wanted to know why. Because God has set eternity in the hearts of men. I want to make sure that when you drive past this building at nighttime, there's this great big glowing bright light that says Eternity. And you drive past and everybody then thinks, wonder what's going to happen to mine. So they come in the next day and come to church. Amen. That's why we named it Eternity. God has set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. God has always worked with eternity in mind. Amen? God has always worked knowing the beginning from the end. He's never, ever done. I love that his work is always moving. He's a mover and a shaker. Today, like he was when Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. Come on now. The walls didn't come tumbling down because of the vibrations of people's feet. They come tumbling down because of the obedience and the faith of a people, amen, who called on the power of an almighty God who knocked the walls down. Can I get an amen? And just like God could do that then, God can do that now, amen. You need to know, church, God is not done with you. He's not done with you. He's not done with you. Do you believe me? I don't know if you're an old man like me. Or maybe you're 85. Maybe you're 95. Maybe you're 10. Maybe you're 20, but you mess things up. God's not done with you, church. Hey, do this. I want you to take a breath. Watch this. Do this. Put your hands like this. There's no reason for it. It just helps you focus. Go like this. Do that. Did it work? Did it work? Hands up if you took a breath and it actually came in and back out. It worked? Come on, touch your neighbor. Say congratulations. You're alive! You're alive. You're able to breathe. God's not done yet. That's the evidence. That's the proof. You are alive. You can still pray and ask God for miracles. You can still ask God for healing. You can still ask God to bless your life. Amen. Come on, he's not done yet. But maybe you're in here and you're like, yeah, but I messed it up. I screwed up my life. You ever thought that before? Funny thing is, 10 years later, you're always like, that was nothing, right? Compared to what I did yesterday. Just because you messed it up doesn't mean he's done yet. Just because you made a mistake doesn't mean you can't ask for healing yet. Amen. Hey, can I be real with you for a moment? Like super real? Like even use words that'll freak you out in church? Can we do that right now? Like, can we be real? If you had an affair and now you've got an STD, you can even ask God to heal that. And he is even still listening after that. Can I? Do you believe me? I know that was like real, and I used, well, he said STD. Yeah, I didn't. I wasn't talking about a long distance phone call. Come on now. Oh, does that mean that in America? No, it did in Australia. It was an STD. It was really confusing. Super confusing, wasn't it, babe? Yeah. Everyone's like, everyone's getting STDs. What's going on here? You know, they're free with your phone plan. It's confusing, right? Sorry. Anyway, wow. We're done with that. Baby, you didn't warn me. Come on now. She usually warns me about everything. But come on now, can we be real? If that's what happened in your life, if you made that kind of mistake, and now because of your own mistake, something terrible happened in your life, God still wants to heal you. God's still listening to your prayer. He did not walk away from you. He's still your God. It's still His pleasure to be with you. It's still His pleasure to heal you. Come on, when we're introduced to Jesus in the Word of God, the first time we start to talk about Him, before it says His name, it tells us the name of His family, all the people that went before Him, and they were messed up. There's hookers and murderers and adulterers all in this list, and at the bottom of the list it says, oh, and then they all had a kid, and His name was Jesus. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm not ashamed to be associated with people like this. He's still your healer, church. Amen. Whether or not the need in your life is the result of your own doing or someone else's, He is still as for you as He is for me or anyone else in this room. If you need healing in your body, all right, whether it's about that or something else, in your mind, in your spirit, He is your answer. He's a miracle-working God, amen? Yesterday, today, and forever, blessing His children, healing their bodies, healing their minds, healing their spirits. God is a mover and a shaker. Someone, do you believe me? So we're in here talking about healing and God's power and God moving, not just in our bodies, praise God. I was going to be all about physical healing today, but then Pastor Benny sort of talked a little bit about that last week and prayed for people and they got healed. And I'm like, well, today we'll do more then. And we'll talk about your spirit. We'll talk about your brokenness. We'll talk about your mind as well, anxiety and all sorts of other things as well, all of it together. We're talking about freedom from pain, from sickness, from brokenness. The pastor's up on stage saying, you don't have to live with anxiety anymore. He's up on stage saying, you don't have to live with sickness or depression anymore. And maybe you're in here and the devil's convinced you that you'll never be healed. And maybe you believe him. Maybe he's tricked you into believing the lie that you'll always live with brokenness, whether it be in your body, your mind, or your spirit, that you'll always have that thorn in your side. Can I just say, it ticks me off. I understand what people are saying, but when I'm sick, or for me, I have allergies, and people go, oh, that must be your thorn in the side. And I'm like, if you're saying that's just something that I can serve God through anyway, yes. If you're saying that's something that I'm going to have forever, then shut up. Come on now. Is that all right? Yeah, because I believe that these things will be gone in one day in Jesus' name. Someone say amen. Amen. Oh my gosh, he said STD and shut up. I am. Don't let him trick you into believing the lie. While I'm up here preaching that God wants to heal you, I know some of you will be out there thinking, yeah, that's easier said than done. I've had anxiety since I was a child. It's been years. Doctors have tried. I'm so tired. I know how you feel. I've been there before. Maybe it's just simply you're here and church has become a tick list for you. I just come to church on Sundays. I tick that box to make sure my soul is safe in case I die this week. And now I'm good. Come on, if church has become a tick list to you, I need you to lift your faith. And remember that this is a spiritual moment, that God is alive. And He doesn't just want you to come to His house, but He wants to come to your house. Amen. He doesn't just want you to knock on the door and say, I came, it's all good. He wants you to come in, sit down, have a meal. He wants to have a conversation with you. Amen. He wants you to invite His power into your life. So I got to thinking, which is a dangerous thing that Lauren doesn't let me do too often because I can do some stupid things sometimes. And I got to thinking, what does God have to do to get you to believe? What does God have to do to get your faith to lift up, to rise up. See, he promises it, and we've seen people healed at this very altar. Do you need a sign? Do you need a wonder? Do you need a unicorn to walk through the doors of the church? Is that what you need? Is that what you need? For real, right? Okay. If a unicorn walked in the doors of the church today, would that lift your faith a little bit? Come on, hands up if that would lift your faith. If right now a unicorn walked in the door of the church, would that lift your faith? Come on, come on. Would that lift your faith a little bit? Okay, okay. Okay, cool. Oh, hello. Someone's banging on the door. I had no idea that was going to happen. Man. Hey, dude. Thanks for coming down from heaven for us. Wow. When God told me to put that in my notes, I had no idea that that was going to happen. That is messed up. I know you all are like, dude, you set us up. It's not even funny. That was a setup. You're a cheeky bugger. I know, I did. I set you up. I wanted to make sure from now on that every time you see a unicorn, that you remember that magic does happen. Amen? It's called the power of God. Amen? That's what we call it. From now on, when you see a unicorn, you're going to be like, God's a healer. And the people at the thrift store are going to be like, what? And you're going to be like, Holy Spirit. If you've seen the movie, you got the joke. You know, have you ever heard people say things like this? You know, like an ugly guy like me marries a beautiful woman like Lauren. And you know, so some other kid is like, you know, see, it is possible. And someone goes, no, it's not possible. That was a unicorn. Ever heard that before, right? Yeah? Come on, magic happens, amen? Come on now. God's good, amen? I set you up. But guess what? That's what God does. God sets you up. He'll say something like, do you believe, like Jesus could be here. Do you believe that I could bring a unicorn here right now? You'd be like, nope. And he'd be like, fine. You'd be like, yep. Poof, a real one pops up right there, glitter and all. That's what God does. He sets you up. You know that? He builds your faith. He gives you opportunities to believe, opportunities to trust in Him. And when you do, extraordinary things happen. He doesn't put pain in your life. Don't hear what I'm not saying. God does not go, you know what I'll do? I'll give Him cancer and we'll see if He has faith. Every foul thing comes from the devil. The Word of God says that the devil has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and life evermore. Amen? Life, and life abundantly. Life, and life to the full. That's what God come to give you. Do not let someone else's broken story change what you believe God has come to do. Amen? He doesn't put pain in your life, but when it comes, the Spirit-filled believer can expect that God has turned the devil's setback into a setup for a God-sized comeback. Amen? I want to tell all the faith-filled people in here with anxiety that this is a setup, that this is another setup. This whole day is a setup and God sets you up. I want to tell everyone in here with diabetes that this is a setup. God brought you here. God said, this is what we're preaching today. This is a setup. You've been set up. If you have depression today, I want you to know that this is a setup. If your spirit has been broken like a horse that was once free, but now it's broken, controlled. If that's your spirit, it's time for you to understand that God sets people free, and those whom Christ have set free are free indeed. Amen. That this is a setup. That brokenness that the devil did to you, God has turned your setback into a setup for a God-sized comeback. He wants to heal your heart. Amen. I know our setback is a setup for a God-sized comeback. It's become cliche, hasn't it? But I want you to know that just because something became a cliche doesn't mean there's not power and truth in it anymore. Don't let cliches rob you of the truth, amen? God is still in the business of setting you up for a God-sized comeback. If you're stressed out, This is a setup. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, this is a setup. Come on, touch your neighbor on the left and say, did that unicorn just poop in church? It didn't. That's cool, eh? I'm real stoked about that. We put the plastic down just in case. I remember when God set up the woman that Samuel wrote about in 1 Kings chapter 17. She's only got a tiny bit of ingredients left. That's all she's got. She's got a few ingredients left to make one last tiny loaf of bread for her and her son's last supper. That's right, I said last supper, right? Listen to that. Google that. Look into that. Read about that someday. It will blow your mind, the last supper in 1 Kings and the last supper in the New Testament. And after this, she's got this little bit of ingredients there preparing to have her last supper before they die. Then Elijah, the man of God, he turns up and says, yo, woman, God said, give me that food. The woman's like, yeah, but we were going to eat that and then die. She's got nothing. It's one last meal. Come on, you don't take the last thing someone's got. You don't do that. That's not Christian, right? It's not cool. You don't take their last piece of bread, their last bit of oil. You don't do that. But she's got this last bit, one last meal. She's got nothing else, and this dude wants it. I don't know if anybody else does, but I smell a setup coming. You smell a setup coming? See, God didn't make her poor, but in her poverty, God set her up to be blessed, amen. In the middle of that horrible situation, God set her up and sent a man to ask for the last thing she had, and God said. So the woman obeys the word of God and makes a loaf of bread for Elijah. But then God shows up and there's still enough for more and more and more. Her oil wasn't running out. Her flour wasn't running out. Sounds like the fish and the loaves, doesn't it? It just wouldn't run out because God set her up, and then something extraordinary happened that she had enough for her and her son and then some more. Amen. See, I've experienced and seen God do great things in my life and in many other people's lives. And I even know of a young man who was blind and got healed. But for me, I didn't ever have this thing where I was blind or a broken leg or something like that. I grew up on a dairy farm, drink lots of milk, your bones stay strong. Amen. Drink your milk. But what I did have was fear. Anyone ever struggled with fear? I had a lot of fear. See, when I was young, I had heart surgery. And after that, I developed this crippling sense of fear of heart attacks and heart disease in my future. I was almost convinced that I was going to die of a heart attack someday. See, I was 17 and I had heart surgery. And after that, I just knew it. I was convinced of it. It was going to kill me. It was going to take me out. And every time I look in the mirror, there's a zipper from here to here. Just a reminder. One day, you're going to have a heart attack and die. It was crippling. I remember at one point not even wanting to get married or have kids because I'd probably die before I'm 30 anyway. But I've been healed of that now, church. Come on, I've been healed of that. I'm telling you, it was crippling. I couldn't go a day without wondering if that was the day that I was going to have a heart attack and die. Can you imagine living with that fear? It stops you doing some stupid things and causes you to do some other stupid things. It's ridiculous. But you know what? Every now and again, the devil still comes back and goes, hey, see that scar? You're going to die one day. And you know what I say? I say, hey, you see that scar? It's a reminder that I overcame fear. Get out of my life. Amen. I overcome this. I'm not afraid of this anymore. But guess what? It didn't happen sitting in a counselor's office. No offense to counselors. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go see a counselor. Sometimes we do need to see a counselor, that's for sure. But in this case, I didn't need a doctor. I needed to be in the presence of God because it's in His presence that we are made whole. Can I get an amen? Come on, someone stand up and praise the Lord as the band comes back up here. I'm just saying that didn't sound like I'm convinced God is real set of praise, but you know, whatever. Come on, someone who believes that God is a mover and a shaker, give him a shout of praise. Now, come on. See, I don't know what evil thing the devil's done to you. God didn't do it. I don't know what evil thing the devil done to you, but you need to be reminded that all things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord. And when the devil comes and he's doing things to you, you need to remind him, hey, devil, whatever you throw at me, it's going to bless my life one day, because all things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord. And guess what, devil? I love the Lord. So not today, devil. Get out. Amen. I love what God does. Because if the word of God is true, that all things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes, if that's true, and it says all of the things, not some of the things over here, but those things up there are a little too tough, but it says all of the things. So what that says to me is that whatever sword or lie the devil comes at me with, God gets wind of it, adds some Holy Ghost purpose to it, amen? And then that thing that the devil meant to destroy me ends up kicking his rear end and blessing my life. That's what all things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord means. It means everything. Church, your setback is a setup for a God-sized comeback. You need to let the devil know that it ain't gonna work today, because Jesus said, come to me all who are weary and burdened and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 11:28. And remind him of Psalm 107. It says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them in their distress. Psalm 30 says, I called for God's help and he healed me. Let me read that again. I called for God's help and he healed me. I called for God's help and he healed me. Church, did you hear that? You call on God's name and he heals you. Amen. Are you ready to praise God in a minute? Are you ready to worship him some more? Are you ready to let out in a moment a great big shout of praise? Because I want to tell you, praise is a key to a breakthrough. Praise is a key to a breakthrough. It happened everywhere. When they're marching around the city, it was when at the end they then let out a shout of praise unto God, that God sent a breakthrough. Amen. Exodus 15:26 says, God says, I will heal you, for I am Jehovah Rapha. I will heal you, for I am Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha means the Lord who heals. So God is saying, I will heal you because I am the God who heals. It's logical. It makes sense. It's 1 + 1 = 2. I am the Lord who heals. And you might be in here going, my legs are fine. Hey, we're not just talking about your legs or your arms. We're talking about your mind and your body and your spirit. Amen. God is the one who heals. Jeremiah wrote, heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. What? That's right. Heal me and I will be healed. Save me and I will be saved. Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, Lord, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise. Heal me and I will be healed. It doesn't say, heal me and I will praise you. It doesn't say, save me and I will praise you. It says, heal me and save me, for you are the one I already praise. Amen. I praise you, so do this. Come on, church. Praise God. He's the healer. Give him a shout of praise. Thank him. Enter this moment with thanksgiving and praise in your hearts.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.